Thank you, Chris, for leading us in our singing. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now, unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, a world without end. And the whole congregation said, Amen. Ephesians 3:20-21, that is what the Scripture says and it teaches us. I hope that that will encourage us as we live our lives for Jesus Christ. I've been dedicating some lessons to you about revival. In the first time that I've preached a series of lessons about revival, but I didn't say anything about this in the beginning, but I want you to know that this is really all new material to me. I mean, it's not my old series. It's new to me. And when you do that kind of thing, you always learn something else. Psalm 85 in verse 6 said, Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? That's where we kicked it off. And we simply said, let's supply the need. Let's recognize the need for revival. Revival in our spirit, revival in our individual lives, so that we might live for Jesus Christ. And then we turn to the book of Haggai in chapter 1. Now this is a short, really short book, only two chapters in it, Ray. And in chapter 1, a very famous passage of Scripture where basically it says the people or the prophet or God has spoken to them and said, the people has said now is not the time. And so our lesson title was Now is the Time for Revival. That's what God was telling them. Now today, I'm going to admit to you that after almost 48 years of preaching, very soon it will be, in November it will be, 48 years I've been in the pulpit. Lord lets me live to that particular period of time and preach to that time. I have read this passage in Haggai chapter 2. And Tom, I've thought about coming up with a lesson around that particular passage. I've never done it before. So here it is. God shaking things up. God says to us from the book of Haggai chapter 2 beginning at verse 5, He says, As for the promise which I made you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, Once more in a little while I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also and the dry land. And I will shake all of the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all of the nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Everybody said amen to that. What a great passage of Scripture encouraging us, and God promising that He would shake things up. Now, when I'm thinking about this, the goal of the message, shaking things up, that is, for revival, is to learn how to be prepared, if we can, for, well, I'm going to call them disruptions that come along in our lives that very often get us off the path. And you know, a lot of times, I don't know about you, but I'm want to be focused on. I'm one of these people that makes notes, because if I don't, I'll forget about it. And then after I make the notes, I try to get them in some kind of priority and try to get them down on my list about what needs to be done and how to get it done. I don't know if you're that kind of person. It doesn't really matter. But sometimes making notes or making a list doesn't work. Why? Well, that's not the way life is it, Jim? I mean, things pop up that you didn't know about yesterday when you made the note. And they come up today. And they need to be taken care of. There are things that happen to us in our life. And so I want to say to you that I think there's some really good news in this, and there's also maybe a little bad news along with it. As the people of God, we tend to want to focus maybe too much on making sure that everything runs according to plan, smooth. And there's nothing wrong with having plans. I don't want you to hear me saying that it's not a good thing to make a list, or if you easily forget things, you want to have a list, or you want to try to remember how to get things done. But sometimes we need a little something that knocks us off the path that we're on to make us realize how important it is that we see everything around us. Sometimes we don't do that. Goals are good. They're always good as long as God stays number one. But sometimes when we're pursuing, chasing after our goals, we forget about God. That's what the case is in the writing of this particular material. Things that they forgot about. And I'm just simply saying to you, God shakes things up in our lives. He shakes things up out here in the world. And you know that I'm not native Texan. My grandparents were native. Their grandparents were natives. But somehow or another, my folks got it in their mind California would be better. That's where I'm from. How many of you have been in an earthquake? Okay. Well, then you know about how things shaking up if you've been in an earthquake. I'm wondering if you've really been in an earthquake. You know, if you live in California, there are tremors almost every day. In fact, us native people from California forgot to even feel those tremors most of the time. It had to at least be, a 3 or 4 on the Richter scale for any of us to wake up and say, oh, what was that? Other people would have been there and maybe felt a tremor go through the ground a lot easier, quicker than us because we had grown quite used to them. I don't know if you're aware of this, but some of these earthquakes that happened, for example, you may have heard about the famous one in San Francisco, which was a 7.8 on the Richter scale quake. And the shaking, that's the way it was written in the newspaper because I looked it up, the shaking was felt in Nevada, Arizona, Utah, New Mexico, Idaho, Colorado, Oregon, Washington, and on up into parts of Canada. Interesting, isn't it, that the shaking can go on? But you see, God is powerful. I don't understand everything about earthquakes and don't intend for that to be the sermon today. But if you've ever been in one, you know God is powerful. I had no idea until as a young sprout, my uncle called me and wanted me to go to Kansas. And I used to be involved a little bit in rodeo, and he had a boot factory, and he wanted me to enter a couple of rodeos, and he would sponsor me from his boot company, and I was supposed to sell boots some on the side. I'm telling you that because that was my first experience with a tornado. A John Deere tractor was in the tree above where I was trying to hide in another spot. Not more than maybe, 20 feet from me. I mean, after it was all over, I was pretty safe and secure. I had no idea the power behind the winds that happened in the tornado until that day. So I'm just saying, we all know, don't we all know that God can shake things up? But none of the things that I'm describing to you right now are nearly as powerful as the things that happen in our lives, right? There are things that happen in our lives that can be extremely powerful. And even though I'm not real comfortable, that is, I'm not wanting a tornado to come through, I'm not wanting to get into a earthquake situation, I'm just reminding you about an all-powerful God. And I want to make some application here about what He was telling the people. Remember, He said, according to the promise I gave to you, and that promise, you can find that over in the book of Exodus if you would. I believe it's chapter 29. And you can read in verses 45 and 46 that He says to them, I will be your people, and I will be your God. And I'm keeping that promise. And Haggai was telling them, God has kept His promise. And then He said, I'm going to shake things up. I'm going to shake the nations up. I'm going to shake the earth up. I'll shake the sea up. And you have read, as I have read, Malachi 3 and verse 6, famous quote, that simply says, I am the Lord, and I change not. I don't want you to think because we're studying over in the Old Testament that we're talking about things that are not so for today. I want you to understand that God doesn't change, but His people should be ready for the change and the shakeups that He brings on our earth where we live, being ready and obedient and faithful in the midst of changes. Show Him our true faith and bring us into the midst of the changes that come and a closeness with the Savior, just like Chris was talking about a little earlier, about what Jesus did for us, because we love Him. I want you to hear this. If you hear nothing else, I'm going to make six quick points and we'll be done. You can go to the cafeteria, you can go to the Whataburger, wherever it is you go. But get this idea. I hope you'll remember this. That you as a spiritual individual cannot draw close to God or closer to God and move from where you are simply by staying in place. You can't be idle. That's a principle of life, that you have to move around and move about. In fact, if you think about it, change is always happening, isn't it? I mean, who could imagine that David and Lena could be old enough to have somebody graduating from high school? I knew I'd squeeze one out of you one way. Changes. They just keep happening. Kids just keep growing up, graduating. The next thing you know, he'll be married and have kids. Peyton, don't pass out. He's got his ears covered. Yeah. And then you'll be grandparents. Oh, my. Change is always taking place. Think about what God is doing. Aren't you glad we have seasons? You know, aren't you glad that it becomes summertime and you get to graduate? Or that it becomes wintertime and you don't have to be hot all the time? There's change around us all of the time, but a lot of times those are the things that we take for granted. And we don't remember how important they are in our life. So I want to say to you as we get going here, that God remains steady always, but change is a way of life. And God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. God has plans. And His plans, even in spite of all of those difficulties that come your way. That's sometimes hard to remember, isn't it, Bob? That here I am, I'm doing my thing, and all of a sudden, I don't have time for this. Well, change. Maybe God is telling you, you need to refocus and remember what is important. I want to say to you that the Bible teaches and says emphatically that His Spirit is with us. We have that wonderful option of the Spirit being a part of our life and guiding us in our day-to-day life. His Spirit abides with us. He promises that. He never forgets us, even in the turmoil of life. Being pulled closer, you see, to God means that there will be somewhat movement. That means change. Movement in order to go or get closer to God. God shakings are intentional and they have purpose behind them. If you will look for them. Now you can always take anything negatively. Or you can decide that you're going to see what it is that God is trying to show you to do. What does He want me to do that's better? Now, over in my office, you might see me run off every once in a while, and I come back, I am nipping on a bottle, but it's orange juice, okay? Have any of you ever drank any orange juice out of a plastic bottle? Huh? I got a lot of people back there going, oh, no, it's in a plastic bottle. I guess that's it. What's the first thing you got to do with it? Shake it up! Because I guarantee you right over in there right now in my refrigerator, I've got a couple of those orange juices to pull me out of my lows. But before I drink it, I'm going to do this. The reason I'm doing that is because all whatever that good stuff is all flowed down to the bottom and I'm mixing it back up. And if you are being truthful and honest, when events happen in your life to change your life around and pull you up a little short, it makes you begin to start thinking about, how did I get here? Why am I here? How did I get to this place? I'm going to do something different so that when I get to this place again, I won't react the way I've reacted this time. I'm going to do a better job of this. That's God working in us and helping us, shaking us up. A shaking from God is usually something that is unexpected in our life, disrupts our life. And since Chris already brought it up about why did he have kids, I'll tell you why. To keep you on your toes, buddy. Yeah. You know, Rosemary had four children. Now, usually I say we had four children, but sweetheart, I'm going to put this really where it really belongs. Rosemary had four children. She carried those children for 9 months. She got bigger than 40 watermelons. My first thought was, oh my gosh, will her body ever go back? Oh, come on, you didn't think that, guys? I wondered how in the world this could be happening. And there were times when I would look at Rosemary and I'd say, that thing is going to blow all over the room any minute now. But it didn't. In fact, it didn't happen until it was ready. And when it got to the ready spot, I don't mind telling you, David, that I was glad I was on the side of the bed I was on. It wasn't pretty. And there's a woman sitting back there, I don't know how she went through it as many times as she did. But she did it because she loves children. Now, I don't know what it is about God. Isn't He wonderful to help us forget about all that stuff? You know, the stuff that was the bad stuff. The stuff that was at the meeting. When it got down to that final time, it made me realize that there really was a change fixing to happen. And pretty soon there was a kid crying in the room. Things never were the same again. For a lot of reasons. I don't mean that from the bad standpoint. I mean it from the good standpoint. God blessed us with them. Despite what we're going through, God has a plan for us. He wants to help us. And sometimes we need to be shaken to bring us back to what God's priorities are. I don't mind telling you, Ray, that made me get on my knees and start praying because I didn't know what I was going to do. I'm a dad. What am I going to do? I didn't know how to be a dad. I walked around with that thing like this, Bobby, so gentle and real easy. You know, by the time the third one comes along, you just get over here and get in. Am I right about it? You learn them things don't break very easy. Change, though, shook up our lives. But it was for the better because God was helping us to grow as people. And God, when He does these things, He does things that we've never seen before. He does different kinds of things to us. When God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, if you read Exodus 14 in the part of them coming out, it says as they're traveling along that they're seeing all kinds of new things. They're seeing things they've never seen before. And you know that I'm not exaggerating when I say once you have children, you're going to see things you've never seen before. You had no idea about it. Oh, you saw kids before. You saw other people bring their children. You saw all that stuff. But it's nothing like when it happens to you. And I'm just going to put in a quick plug for Bailey. I know she's going to thank you on Wednesday because this congregation supported her while she went to the AIM program over in Lubbock, Texas at sunset. And now she's on a mission team that's going to go to Coleraine, Ireland, Northern Ireland. And that's why me and Rosemary were at the Celtic Women concert, so we get buffed up for Ireland. That's not true. It was a Christmas present. That's why we were there. But she's going to come and tell you about what she's going to do. I want to take just 2 minutes to tell you what the doctors told us Bailey was going to do. She was born with half a heart. One chamber, one valve. They said she'll never live to be 4. She'll be 20 in just another couple of weeks. She'll never run. She'll never swim. She finished 17th out of 235 in a 5K. I would be 235. That's where I would be. Bailey changed our lives. She shook us up. In 6 open heart surgeries, we were told more than once she won't pull through. We hit our knees. The church hit their knees. People all over the country hit their knees. And they prayed for Bailey, and she is alive today. So, thanks for indulging me. I, it's just a miracle to me. I mean, I understand that there are miracles and there are miracles and so forth and things that we don't understand. But God must have a plan for Bailey. He had a plan for her all along. We didn't know about it. And you've been a part of that plan. That's what's so great. Is that all of us get to share together into so many different things that God does to us that helps us move other people along, and that is what revives our spirits. I used to think I believed in God answering prayer, and then Bailey came along. I really believe God hears prayer. It's an amazing thing what God can do. And He does so many things. Even when the situations are scary. Even when they're shaky. Even when you can see the things of the foundation of the earth moving around. Or you're looking out the window and you're watching your neighbor's tree or part of his house go by in the tornado. That can be pretty scary. But God is unshakable. God is always with us. God is there through the pain. God is there to lift us up when we need it. And Christ may well be changing the world now to prepare for His return. I know we look at our world situation and we think, oh my goodness, it can't get worse. Well, yes, it can. It could. It may. Remember, you're in Christ. And no matter who's president or who's a ruler of any country or whatever, God's still in charge. God's the one that directs us. And God is the one who brings all of that so that we are able to serve Him. Tune in to God when things start to shake. How many of you this very morning turned on the weather station or listened to the weather? How many of you? I mean, if you didn't, you must, I don't know, you must be living somewhere I wasn't living. Over at my house, it got so dark, the lights didn't help. We knew something was coming. We had to check on it. I say that to you because do we recognize that God has said a number of things to us so that we'll listen to who He is and what He does for us. In the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer over here writes and says, this is chapter 12, "For you are not come to the mountain that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor with blackness and darkness and tempest." He's describing Mount Sinai, by the way. "And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words with a voice that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and shake." You remember a time in your life where you were so afraid you were shaking? Did that ever happen to you? Maybe it never happened to you. Now, there's been a couple of times when I wasn't smart enough to know that I should have been. And when I turned around to see where I'd been, then I started shaking. Anybody been there? Moses says it was a tough time. It was a scary time. We need to pay attention both to the past as well as to the future. When it comes to shaking us, God's kingdom will shake the kingdoms of this world because God is in control. And God allows us to continue sometimes even in the wrong direction, till we recognize that change is obvious. I'm just going to say to you that there's just a point in time when you take a look at your wife and you say, well, we better get you to the hospital. I mean, change is fixing to happen. It's obvious. She's telling you what's happening. We need to go. And maybe some people wind up just being in the car, don't they, Lena? Good old Harry. Harrison. But when it's time, isn't that right? I'm simply saying, congregation, to all of us today, I want you to understand when the time comes and it's obvious, make the change. You remember the story of Rahab, don't you? She obviously saw a need to make a change. That's why she took care of the spies. That's why she did what she did. Sometimes change causes us to cave in to our current world. Because you see, as a believer, we're all part of an unshakable kind of kingdom. Even though there's upheaval and distress around us, we can remain calm and assured in a very difficult, sort of cutthroat, fast-paced world we live in because we have Jesus Christ in our life. And I hope that you'll remember that. Even if things are difficult, we can always see God's great blessings. The psalmist tells us that I have been young and now I am old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Anybody that lives to my kind of age or some of your ages, we recognize that God's going to take care of us. We don't know how sometimes. We don't know from where it's coming, but we know that God will work it out. You're a part of a great kingdom. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And all of His righteous deeds are not forgotten. You should read the Psalm 103. It's a great psalm. It's a psalm of great assurance. I want to encourage you with that. Your priority of Christ is the deciding factor in how you will face the shakeups, shaking you up so that you will put God as your top priority. God is getting ready to show you something better when He's shaking you up. Because God is the one who's in control. Well, I know that it's sometimes hard to know what it is God wants. You know, He says rather plainly in the book of Isaiah that my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I know that sometimes it makes it difficult for us to know what it is that God wants us to do. I want to encourage you that when God is shaking your world up, that you remember that He, and only He, is in control of what's going on, and you are in control of how you'll handle it. Revive us again. Live in our life, God. Encourage us to be your people. If you're here today and would respond to that message, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.